Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
My minions, it's Sunday. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you guys could take time to join us on a Sunday afternoon to talk racing. That's exactly what we do. We join up with the guys from Radio Speed Talk, and we bring you Radio Speed Talk, and we talk about everything to do with racing. But before that, we always like to take a look at our Indianapolis Colts, because we're based right here in Indianapolis. And how about those Colts? A little bit of rapid reaction in overtime. That's right, overtime. Colts win 19-13. Luck to Ballard, and Ballard does, well, just a feat of pure athleticism. I'm going to tell you what, unbelievable. Now, what this means is the Colts are 4-3. Owning a winning record in the AFC counts as a big deal at this point in the season. See, they sit in second place in the AFC South while the Titans fall to 3-5, having a missed chance to pull a 500 in the Indianapolis Colts. I tell you what, great game with the Indianapolis Colts. And those of you that were following our live blog on IndyProSports.com got a little bit of a late start on that. But we did catch you up. And I tell you, a great game. What I liked about the Colts, 17-play, 80 yards in 7 minutes and 2 seconds drive, tying a touchdown with 3 minutes and 24 seconds remaining in regulation. I tell you what, that was a real statement to me. If you weren't a luck believer, you better be one now. They were missing tight end Kobe Fleener because of a shoulder injury, and I was sporting his jersey, but I was still there. And went to a power formation to convert a 4th-and-1 from the Titans' 8-yard line, converting with Delone Carter. He also scored a touchdown. I'll tell you what, though. You look at this overtime play with Vic Ballard. I mean, I thought it was Reggie Wayne. Vic Ballard took Andrew Luck throwback screen pass that just got past the defense. Defensive end Wembley, and sprinted up on the left side and dived into the pylon. To the pylon! If you missed it, well, you're going to have to catch the highlights, and believe me, they're going to be going everywhere. Well, I know you came here to watch or listen to Racing with Radio Speed Talk, and we're going to get you right over there. Programming note, guys, every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network from 9 a.m. to 11 Eastern, we do the Balance Live. We'll give you a full plate of sports, all the sports that you could possibly handle. We give that to you as well. This coming up Saturday, we're going to be moving the Balance Radio Studios. So we're going to be playing the best of coming up this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to 11. So we'll be having, you know, some of the best shows, some of the best interviews that we've had over recent time. Perhaps maybe you missed a good opportunity if we just sit back and relax for the best of the Balance. That's this Saturday coming up from 9 a.m. To 11. Also, make sure you're following us on Facebook, The Balance, and, of course, our partner company, Indy Pro Sports, IndyProSports.com as well. And so also on Twitter, T-Balance and Pro Indy. Well, guys, I know you got here to watch. I can't get watching them. I've been watching the game, minions. Well, it's time to get over to some racing talk, some racing with the boys from Radio Speed Talk. Cliff, Kenny, and gang, whoever else might show up there is right around the corner, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
It's time for Speed Talk.
Yeah,
with host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
All right, folks, Speed Talk, Kenny Bard, Cliff Tanner coming at you. Tiny behind the microphone with his little helper off to the side, giving us the timer. And Tom Hermie Wolf is over there laughing at us as well. Hey, folks, man, a lot of things happening. But I got to tell you, first of all, I want to thank all the military because now we have been joined, or we are joining, I should say, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Glad to serve the military somewhat, I guess. Hopefully they'll be entertained or they won't send bombs our way, Kenny. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure they'll be entertained. They need a good dose, especially the guys overseas. Good dose of Midwest American attitude and racing, and we got plenty of that.
Yes, we do, especially after the debates last night. Anyway, we're not going to go there.
I watched the whole thing.
Racing. Did you?
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, I stayed
did
away.
Did hurt?
At times, yeah, it certainly did.
Anyway, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, check us out there, and also you can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, check us out there. God, we're everywhere. And Kenny is on Twitter at KennyBar52, and I'm at Radio Speed Talk 2. And this show is going to be kind of crazy this week. We're going to talk NASCAR, obviously, and what happened when everybody thought, you know, such a great racetrack and all this. But there was a lot of happenings there. We're going to talk a little bit about how NASCAR and Tony Stewart is 3 weeks behind Radio Speed Talk.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about Miss Danica Patrick. And we got a new contest that's going to be introduced during that segment. And in segment three, we got a gentleman that has been around racing forever. He's written God knows how many articles and books. Bill Holder is going to be with us. And we're going to have Did You Know, or Do You Know? I don't know why I keep saying that. You got to smack me around when I say that.
I can't reach you from here.
Well, however.
It's all the same thing.
We're going to talk about the ARCA Championship race at Kansas on Friday night. I'm telling you, that was a wild one. That was the only race I actually got to watch the whole thing for.
That's good, because that's the only race I didn't see all weekend. So it's all yours. I'll just interject some silly thoughts at times or what have you.
Well, it was a crazy one, and I wrote, and when you're at Radio Speed Talk, go to the blog. Kenny jumps on there once in a while. We still haven't got him set up on his yet, but the theme that I wrote for that is I went to a NASCAR race in Kansas, and a demolition derby broke out. So quite a wild day, Kenny.
Boy, was it. Hard tires, and hard tires. Guys never got the feel that they wanted to get all weekend long, or at least in the Cup show. And guys that normally don't spin out were spinning out, losing it, and sailing off the side. What are you grinning at, Herm? You're just having a great night, aren't you? There's a microphone, brothers. Jump right in there. You've seen Kyle Busch go off on his own. You've seen Tony Stewart go off on his own. You've seen Jimmy Johnson take off and go on his own. And I was surprised because just about everybody who spun out had somebody on their tail, and they never talked aero all day. Danica tried to spin somebody out, screwed herself up big time. That
yeah,
was
we'll
really cute.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, too.
Landon Castle, a rookie, says, hey, if you're going to learn how to do it right. You know, don't take yourself out. Tire problems galore. How many cautions? 13, 14 cautions?
14 cautions. A race. It's actually a track record. But I got to tell you, man, let's talk about Jimmy Johnson for a minute. Actually hit the wall, damaged his car. And I got to tell you, as much as I tell everybody that I don't like Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus for some of the things that they do, but I got to tell you what they did was simply amazing with all the Bondo tape and everything that they put on that car and did it all under caution, and he still finishes ninth place.
Well, that's because the car wasn't hurt. It was cosmetically banged around pretty
right.
bad, but it didn't bend an axle tube. It didn't screw anything in the Panhard bars up. Didn't hit the front end at all. The car wasn't mechanically hurt at all. I mean, you could take the body off and throw it off there, and it still would have been pretty good kind of thing, other than, the aero package was all junk anyway.
Right. Well, they were talking about taking it back behind the wall, and they decided not to do that.
Well, that bear bond stuff is terrific stuff. I mean, next time I get a chance to buy some, I'm going to buy some just to wrap up my enemies and keep them at bay, because I think it's better than duct tape and rope. That stuff really does a great job. And it comes in these great big sheets. I think you could cover old Hermie up in it, about three sheets, and just make him disappear.
Why does it always come back to Hermie, man?
Well, because he's
think
here
you're
tonight.
Obsessed.
He's grinning.
Does your wife know about your obsession with
Hermie? I don't have any obsession with Herms. I just think it's funny. It's good to see a man in a good mood.
It is, and I wish he'd come on board and give us his thoughts of the race this weekend.
It's the on switch.
He's trying to. Anyway, it was a good race for some, I guess. But Matt Kenseth comes away, third win of the year. The amazing thing to me, Brad Keselowski came in with a 7-point lead, leaves with a 7-point lead because he beat Jimmy by one car or one
yep,
place.
Jimmy led a lap. Brad didn't. It's one less race to worry about. They're off to Martinsville. It's a four-horse race. I don't think Kane's got enough to get in there. Only he's 30 down. Yeah, maybe. But, man, oh, man. Boyer's been running good. Hamlin is all right. And Johnson and Keselowski, they just haven't stubbed their toe yet. So my theory about 10 points per race, I think, is shot out the window. I think we're down to, Kane's done. Stick a fork in him. Dodge, Chevy, Toyota. That's what we got left. No Fords in the field that can win this thing.
Well, and that kind of surprises me. I mean, for what they did last year, Carl Edwards obviously tied and still lost. But, Jack Roush has been pretty dominating in the chase, not necessarily winning the championship. But this year they have,
I don't know. Kenseth has won a couple of races in the chase.
Yeah, but
nobody
he's also lost parts. He's also
Well, that's
crashed.
True. Shock went flying around. And
so,
Drew
and
Biffle bounced around pretty hard this weekend. He dropped 5 spots this weekend. The only guy that can't, that he's above is Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Dale's a couple races short now, so that's about where he's going to land is 11th.
Speaking of Dale Earnhardt Jr., once again, I still say this man, Reagan Smith, deserves a ride.
Rumor has it that I read that Junior is going to put him in a Nationwide car next year full time.
Not a good move. I think.
Why not? You don't have it. There's no Cup cars. There's no.
No,
cup
I understand, and he needs to do something. I agree with that.
Keep him sharp.
And he should, but you take the week before, he was running really well, got all the way up into the top 10,
mm-hmm.
and then blew an engine.
Right.
So and then you come out this week, and he maintains it, gets a 7th place. And, you look at the Hendricks, man. All 4 of their guys were in the top 10.
Now, did you think the same thing I thought every time I saw Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson come up behind Smith? Am I thinking team orders, let these guys go, run with them. Make it look like you're kind of racing with them a little bit, but, stick that old hand out the window and give them the wave by here every once in a while. Did you think
tell
that
me
or
not? I did. With any team. I've been thinking that for years. That's why I don't like the team thing. I think there ought to be punishment for team activity like that.
Oh, no, not team, not punishment.
Sure, yes.
Oh, heavens, you're crazier than hell.
No, I'm not crazier than hell. If you can't win the goddamn race, get out of it.
Oh, he could have won the race, but he's also at a part-time ride trying to show himself and see how good he is, and he did a terrific job. Don't get in the way of Jimmy Johnson if he's going to win or Gordon if he's got a chance of winning. Of course there's going to be team orders. You see him coming up in the rearview mirror, and you're going to lift a little bit early and let him go.
Well,
absolutely.
I
want to ride, man. If Hendricks tells me to let him go, I'm letting him go.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, not mid-season.
That's why we're sitting here talking about it, not racing, right?
Not mid-season, though. I wouldn't do it at mid-season. I wouldn't
right.
do it if we're trying to get into the chase. They're going to have to earn their way around me.
Well, that's what
now
I mean.
Now they're in the chase, and circumstances are such, don't tear up the car, don't blow it up, don't over-rev it. Let the guys who are running for points in the chase go by, and then go chase them around a while.
Let me ask you this. Where you stand from and knowing about cars and things like that, let's talk about Brad Keselowski for a second. The last two races, he's qualified in the 20s. What does Paul Wolf and Brad Keselowski got to do to get back up there in qualification? For some reason, he can't qualify worth a crap, and we saw what he did last week. He got back in there, but he had a lot of help.
Yeah. Well, the Kansas race was an anomaly because nobody really knew what the setups were going to be.
Right.
So qualifying 20th is no big deal. Race yourself forward. The things are 400, 500 miles long. I don't think the fact that unless you're at Talladega where you got to worry about the big one or all the way in the back of Martinsville, I don't think where you start is really that big of a deal. Now, if it's a 30-lap race at your local bull ring, oh, yeah. I mean, that's everything. But when you got all that time and so many strategies and so many strange things to play out, and they play the strategy game pretty well.
They do. But, I was listening to Larry McReynolds in an interview the other day, And what he said made a lot of sense. He said that they have to get up in qualifying because, like you said, I mean, granted, it's not a Talladega, but you never know what's going on. I mean, look what Danica Patrick did to Castle. Somebody could bump him just because they're mad at him, and he wipes him out in the middle of the field, and boom, his lead's like gone, and he's down 20.
Yeah, that can happen when you run second or third or fourth. They're going around a lap car, too.
No,
that's
I understand that, but you got a better chance getting up closer to the front. Do you not agree with that?
Eventually, yeah. No, I think if you stay clean, keep your nose out of everybody's way, you know, everybody realizes who you are, and I don't think, unless they got team orders to go take you out, you know, they're not going to mess with them.
That's not Brad Keselowski, man. Well, he's a crazy driver deep in there. Well, Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Sr.
He takes some risks here and there. He'll put that car where it's probably not supposed to be every once in a great while, but he didn't do it this weekend because he didn't have the grip and he didn't have the feel.
Let's talk about Waltrip Racing. I mean, again, they got a good field in there. Martin Truex finished second. Clint Bowyer sixth. Mark Martin actually had the strongest car the whole day.
Oh, yeah, I felt bad for him. Got caught in one of those pit stop. Oh, here comes the yellow. I'm a lap down. Nuts. There goes my race. And he had him covered for quite a long time. He was a good race. I was pulling for Mark. You know, to walk by the TV. He's got a 2-second lead. I'd go goof off, come back, walk by the TV. He's got a 2.5-second lead. So I'd sit down and watch a while, and he was just out there on a rail. And I happened to see when he took the caution, or took the pit stop, and the caution came out. And I went, oh, you know, that's when you just slap yourself in the forehead as a car chief and a crew chief. And go, oh, man, how are we going to make this back up? And I did get back up on the lead lap, I think, once, or got that lucky dog or the wave around or whatever moronic rule that thing is. But he never did get back up
in
front.
Well, no, that's a moronic rule.
The lucky dog is a moronic rule. Absolutely it is. It's just like race your way in. Screw that points thing. Now they're taking 36 cars instead of 35. That's dumb.
Let's take a moment there. And you and I have talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
And I think we both agree.
Yeah.
And my thing is, you get rid of all the championship. You get rid of all the points. If you want to make it NASCAR interesting, everybody qualifies on speed, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do it in the NHRA.
Yep.
I mean, look at Ron Capps didn't make, Jack Beckman didn't make a
sure.
race because of it.
Or the World of Outlaws, you know, you could be the top dog, and if you don't make it through the heat races, you're not in that weekend. That'll make boys a lot more competitive.
And I also noticed that, you know, they also made a change that the Nationwide is going from 42 to 40 cars, or 43 to 40.
Yeah, that's because they can't feel all 43 cars all the time.
Well, I think NASCAR is starting to get smart, and they don't want to pay out all that money for nobody to race because, I mean, Indianapolis. How many guys did we see come right off the track in the first lap?
Well, yeah, they fielded 33 because they couldn't field 34 or
well,
didn't have 34.
We're bringing up points that we're going to have to talk a lot about in the wintertime when we've got a lot of time to talk about it. You're
sure.
talking about starting parks and all that. We could go on forever. But all right, folks, we need to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how NASCAR is 3 weeks behind us and also Danica and our new contest. Got to take a break. We'll be back.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. Bart, rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
199 laps, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to Speed Talk, Kenny Parr.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, folks, a little off-air humor here.
This is fun.
Inside jokes and trying to explain why Tom got his Hermie.
We'll tell that story sometime.
We'll do that sometime. But anyway, we're back, and as we talked about, I want to talk about this, Kenny.
Okay.
It's funny because, and I know you. Should we take a break?
No, I'm good. Hey, laughter's not a bad thing.
Anyway, we started a campaign 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, we haven't even worked it hard yet.
I know, but you know what? I put it on Speed Talk and the Speed Talk Facebook, and it was amazing how many responses I got back on it. We haven't really pushed it, but now all of a sudden, last week it comes out, Tony Stewart's pushing for Eldora to have a NASCAR race. The only problem is, right now, is it may or may not be trucks. Nobody knows how far the negotiations are or if it's just something that just flew by the whim. Or as Tom Marquis says from the Balance Network that we're on, he thinks they were listening to us. What do you think?
Oh, I think maybe they were listening to us too. They are closet Speed Talk fans. There's a whole bunch of them out there, and they need to come out of the closet, let us know who they are. We'll let them in on an interview here and there, and then and see just where it goes from there.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, you and I want dirt tracks back in it. There's
yeah.
no doubt about that.
Sure.
Where or how or do we need to build a bigger track to house 43 cars, or do we not run 43 cars?
Well, they ran 41 at Winchester. You can run 43.
Yeah, but
it's a scoring nightmare on a half mile.
I couldn't even imagine.
You can go to DeQuoin if they can fix the place. You can go to Indianapolis Fairgrounds. That's a mile flat. You can go to Terre Haute. That's a long 5/8 flat. You can go to Kenny Schrader's outfit. What's it, M40 or whatever it is down there? Or I-70 or whatever. Forgive me for not knowing that. If you're listening, Mr. Schrader.
He'll come for you.
There's lots of dirt tracks around that could... And maybe you don't have to start 43. You know, trucks start 36 or something anyway, don't they?
Right, 36 of them.
Yeah, that can be done. And they're talking about wanting to get a different fan base, that their fan base is getting older. They're not getting a bunch of new young pups in there, but maybe some second generationers and stuff. I think it's a great untapped market because there are a zillion dirt track race fans out there.
Well, it's got to be. I mean... I'm in love with the dang things after I finally got to go to one. And Eldora is a great place. The only problem is when NASCAR is going to look at something like that, they're not going to be able to get the seating unless they build up, you know, stands or something around, which they could do at Eldora.
I mean,
there's plenty of room to do that.
You can bring in temporary seating for an event like that. I mean, I think the joint holds 21 or 22,000 permanent seats. Some of them are the old concrete bunkers, man. You better bring a cushion because your butt's going to be sore if you're sitting there for a while.
I've seen them.
And then I'm sure that they'll have trouble selling the first four or five rows because, you know, you'll be mud man by the time the first three or four laps are over with. But
never have trouble with that, dude. There's a lot of people who love that mud.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, you get pelted like somebody's shooting it out of a cannon and it gets old really fast.
Well, there you go, man. There's a new market for NASCAR. Mud helmets.
There you go. Body armor.
Buy your favorite driver's mud helmets, right?
Body armor so you don't get one in the chest and stop your heart. Ka-thud. It can be done, and I think they're going to get it done in the next year or two.
There's two reasons.
Down in Eldora with Tony's connections and stuff.
Right.
The popularity of the Prelude to the Dream. Maybe they'll make the thing a pay-per-view event. Who knows? There's a lot of ways they can market that.
Won't happen. I can't see that happening.
Prelude's a pay-per-view. I tried to find out the numbers of how many actually paid to view. And, boy, that was an elusive thing. I never did find it. I just got frustrated.
It's NASCAR. And
well,
Tony Stewart. You're not going to find that information.
It's also HBO or somebody.
That's true.
And that's probably not public knowledge, but if you dig hard enough and you know the places to dig, you can probably find it.
Well, it doesn't matter. I know they make a lot of money off of it. They wouldn't be doing it. So.
Yep, they sure do. There's some charities that benefit greatly.
Well, you know, and you and I also agree that the road courses are boring. So why not? If you're going to do a road course, you need to go back to dirt. There's several reasons. Daytona was in the dirt.
How about a dirt road course?
Now that could be interesting.
A flat dirt road course. That'd be kind of like Pikes Peak. You'd be running up and down a hill. Or what do they call it over in Europe when they run the little front-wheel drive cars like they're going to just blow up every corner they come around? There's some sort of vernacular for that racing. But put them on a flat track. Just, you know, go to like Sonoma and strip all the concrete off of it. Run them there. Let them go ape shit over there one time. Oops, sorry. We're on the real. Let them have fun over there. Hey, Tiny, I don't know where that's at in there, but ape is the word I was looking for. Beep. But there you go, a dirt road course. That'd be fun.
Dress you up, can't take you nowhere.
I know it, good heavens. You know, this water, this bottled water stuff, Ice Mountain is powerful, powerful stuff. Oh, I ain't drinking that.
All right, well, I still say our campaign goes on. NASCAR back to dirt. That's
absolutely
where a lot of those guys started. There was a lot of NASCAR. I mean, how many did Richard Petty and Lee Petty
30,
win over the
43.
Years?
43.
A ton of
489 races on
right.
dirt. It was funny because they flipped that up on speed the other night, and I went, what'd you do? Steal my research paper, for God's sakes? All those numbers are the same numbers I had. Either that or they looked in the same spot, probably.
All right, we're going to go from what the roots of NASCAR was to why in the heck would somebody let Danica Patrick run in Sprint Cup?
Oh, I can tell you five reasons. Money, 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 money.
But,
money.
But there's now a rumor, and I did not realize this, but I haven't had a chance to research a lot. Rumor has it GoDaddy may drop her because now all of a sudden they want to be more professional.
That's no rumor. That's a fact. They've even got her likability factor dropped like 10 points with their clientele and however they go out and measure that kind of thing. She used to be at the top of the scale. Now she's kind of like in the middle of the scale. She's not bad, but she's just not as a hot of commodity as she used to be. Hinchcliffe is doing really well. The IRL's moving forward as long as your buddy,
Tony
what's
George,
his name?
Don't even get me started on
yeah,
that subject.
Yeah, he don't get his hands on that thing and screw that all up again. She's not going to be in the Super Bowl ads for the first time in about 10 years, and they're trying to get away from the sexy image and more of a professional business image, like
right.
you say, and she has just personified that feminine sexy thing for quite a while. Sex sells. Now they got that thing going strong. They're going to try and take it to the next level.
So what are you saying? We need to find a new website if we're only taking professionals?
Oh, boy. I didn't think about that. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that put up with us.
Look, you know, she was a big, hot commodity. You know, I talked about this with Tom. I've talked about this with a lot of different people. She was a hot commodity in the IRL because here's this hot chick coming out of nowhere doing a great job, and she was perfect for that. Okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
she was losing a little bit because we all know she's got a little bit of an attitude problem at times because we've seen it. But the difference is she comes over to NASCAR. Yes, we have. Hermie's over here laughing at us. Anyway, she comes over to NASCAR, and here's the big difference. In the IRL, it's all kinds of fans. They don't care. You know, she's pretty to look at. We have a good time looking at her, watch her race. She does halfway decent at times. You go over to NASCAR, you can look beautiful over there for 1 year, if even that. Now you have to back it up behind a race car.
Well, yeah, it's a results-oriented business. I mean, and she is used to driving lightweight cars, and you don't have to move the steering wheel a lot.
Right.
And if you lose it, you lose it. I mean, you just it's just a real light little. Here I am back to that hands thing on the radio again. I'm really good at it. But you don't have to move your hands hardly any at all.
Right.
It makes a big difference. Now, when she gets on these bigger tracks like Daytona, like Talladega, where she don't have to move the steering wheel a bunch and she don't have to think about it a bunch, she does pretty well. I mean, look at her last year at Daytona. She qualified. Didn't she win the pole for a nationwide show down there the first beginning of the year?
Daytona, yes.
Yeah. So there are some tracks that she is well versed in because that fits her driving style. But she has got, now she's what?
But she couldn't race.
30 years old,
she
31
could qualify.
Years old.
Yeah, she's 31.
So she's not a young pup anymore. And you don't know if she's going to be able to make the transition. And we're going to get on that same soapbox. There's not many guys that can do it. Foyt, Andretti, Stewart.
Right.
We come up with two others a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember them all. But there's three times as many guys that come from open wheel, asphalt, IndyCar, and washed out. Now, open wheel dirt cars, they get a handle on it because those things are all over the place, and that's a lot more feel than an asphalt IndyCar.
Apparently, you didn't see her driving Eldora.
No, that was you and your ex
partner
deal.
That was horrible, man.
But she finished.
Well, yeah, going 10 miles an hour around the whole place. But that's another story. But real quick, before we announce the contest, because of Danica Patrick, she's the one that inspired this contest because you came up with it, actually. And we're going to run with it. But we'll talk about that in a second. In the IRL, they complained that she could, that she had an advantage because of her weight. Is that the same in NASCAR? Does she, or is that just bunk?
No, the car, that's bunk because the car's got to weigh so much with the driver in it and the helmet in it anyway, so no.
So her
unless
head,
all the,
ego.
Unless all the weight is in her butt because it's a lower center of gravity, but I don't think she's built that way. So
it's Danica Patrick. It's all up here. It's
yeah,
in the head.
So, well,
yeah.
The weight's higher, so you know the car's, the weight transfer in the roll center is higher in the car. No, that the weight of the human, of the driver, had absolutely nothing to do with it.
All right, here's a new contest. We're going to run this till November 20th. Go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. And Kenny was coming up with some great songs. But we want you to take any driver in Nationwide, in Sprint, in Truck, wherever, and I want you to take that name and put it with the song that best describes her.
Oh, yeah.
Or and, him. I shouldn't say
you
that.
You know, NHRA, IRL, doesn't matter. As long as we recognize the name. You know, it can't be like Hermie, like in whatever song he was talking about earlier.
Hermie Sadler?
Yeah, that's the guy. But, yeah, you know, like A.J. Allmendinger. This is what inspired me. I happened to be listening to FortRocks.com, and Huey Lewis came on, and I remember the song, I Want a New Drug. Well,
that was A.J. Allmendinger.
Oh,
yeah,
wait
that's
a minute. What I said.
Right.
I went, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's kind of a neat idea.
All you got to do is go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, go in the comment section, let us know what you think, and at the end of it, we'll come up. We'll give two $50 gas cards away.
Oh, can I enter under surname?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
See, although, do I get a help pick?
We do have rules on there.
I'm going to have my wife enter.
It's a bar. Kenny Vanilla Bar. That's what we're going
to
call it.
I got 30 guys at the house. I'll get somebody to enter. They don't have cars, so I might be able to get a gas card out of the deal.
Your prediction, she's gone 2014.
Yep. GoDaddy's going to dump her as a sponsor. Well, because she's not going to produce, because she's not ready. She still needs a year or two of seasoning in Nationwide. She's not going to produce in Cup. GoDaddy's sponsorship is leaning the other direction, and I think they're just going to say, see ya. Just like Office Depot did to Tony.
JR Motorsports, I think, killed her because he waited too long to get rid of Tony Urie Jr. The guy cannot crew chief. I'm sorry.
Oh, he can too. Good heavens. Him and Dale won a championship together. He can crew chief fine.
Who was around then?
Well, doesn't
Daddy.
Matter.
Thank
Dad,
you very much.
Matter.
Oh, come on,
Daddy
man. We both know
car.
That.
Daddy was never in the car with him.
Nobody taught him a lot, and he was there for a lot.
Yeah, well, it's a chemistry thing between crew chief and driver more than anything.
Quite honestly, I don't think Danica Patrick could get along with any crew chief.
That might be true. Maybe she's got to find a Janet Guthrie to be a crew chief or something.
Now, that could be interesting to see.
Maybe Martha Thoreau can come in there and do it.
Again, RadioSpeedTalk.com, your driver, your song that best describes them, the best one, wins a $50 gas card. We need to take a break. When we come back, Mr. Bill Holder will be joining us.
I got to go find my notes.
There we go.
Looking for an easy way to waste 2 hours of your life? Then tune in to What Is That Show? The podcast, right here on The Balance Online. Kevin Corman and me, Pete LaFuchsia, we pretty much talk about anything and everything. Sports, we talk about it. Entertainment, we talk about it. Music, we talk about it. Hey, speaking of music, this week's guest in studio is rapper, producer, and entrepreneurial mogul, Mo Cheese.
Well,
I want to ask him a little bit about the football. You said you're not a fan of any team but player. Who are some of your favorite players you like?
Of course, I'm definitely a big fan of Drew Brees.
Purdue guy.
Yeah, I love Drew Brees. I love Peyton Manning. Michael Vick is another player that I like. That's about it, you know, when it comes down to football.
I really wish he would play for the Cleveland Browns because that would be such irony right there.
No,
the dog pound.
I never thought I would see him doing, you know, as good as he is in football again, you know.
Yeah, I thought that him going to prison, he was going to come back. Yeah, he was going to play a little bit, but he was going to be relegated to the back area. In other words, it's like, okay, well, he came in, he did a little bit, he did some backup. He, in other words, he made a little bit of more money. I mean, the situation he is in is probably the best he could have, because, okay, if there's any more group of asshole fans out there, it's got to be Philadelphia fans,
yeah,
and
right.
They're the ones who could accept asshole
right.
that
Raiders.
Yeah, I don't even think the Raiders are that bad.
Yeah, the Raiders ain't that bad.
Here's the thing.
They
the Raiders
look like it. They look cool.
I think the Raiders, it's because of the whole black and silver that's kind of intimidating.
Right.
Whereas up until recently, the color green that the Eagles used was not that intimidating of a color. When they went to that harsher looking green, then and colors everything. I mean, let's be honest with
you. Yeah, definitely.
If you put the Oakland Raiders and the then Houston Oilers on a field in their powder blue, who's more intimidating by looks?
Oh, exactly.
Okay, that's why when I see people wearing powder blue North Carolina, I just want to think, okay, yeah, this is somebody who is really super fruity. Yeah, that's what is that show, the podcast. With host Kevin Corman and me, Pete LaFuchsia. Remember to like us at facebook.com/whatisthatshow.
Welcome back to Speed Talk with Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you, Tiny and Tom sticking around helping us out. We're joined by a gentleman that, man, I swear to God, I think he's motorsports genius, the king.
Well, I'm hoping so.
We're going to get him to here. We'll see what he says. He may tell us we're full of crap before it's all over with. We got Bill Holder with us. He's a man. He writes for several magazines, written some books, and he's president of what Hall of Fame, Bill? Welcome.
The National Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame in Florence Speedway, Kentucky.
Let's talk about that, man. You say a lot of people don't know.
It's very similar to the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, but we honor the dirt late model guys, and we really figure dirt late models started in about the mid-60s, and that's when they quit using regular passenger cars and started building them from scratch. And we honor these guys, and a lot of, course, of them went to NASCAR. And we talked to the NASCAR Hall of Fame one time, and I said, hey, we got a lot of your guys in here. And they said, well, you probably know more about it than we do. And I agree, we do know more about it than they do. and about 60 drivers and then a number of other major contributors. Some of the names that might be familiar is one Ralph Earnhardt, and just all kinds of guys. A lot of Ohioans, Donnie Moran, Larry Moore, and just a lot of famous guys. And we have an induction ceremony every year and at the North-South 100, and we're covered by Speed Channel, and it's pretty exciting. And we've got about 4,000 square feet, and we have big panels up with all the memorabilia from the drivers, and we get a lot of pictures and everything, and we also have about 9 cars that have been given to us or that we have restored. And for example, we've got the 1986 World 100 car of Jeff Purvis. And we've got the 1995 dirt track winning car of Jack Boggs, which is a real prize.
Yeah,
and,
we told that Jack Boggs story
all over the place. And of course, we are a nonprofit, and we certainly are a nonprofit.
You've proven that.
Of course, it's very hard to keep this going. And of course, within the last 5 years, we have had no donations, and that's what we live on is donations. We are a nonprofit organization, so. Somebody would contribute to us, you know, they could write it off, you know.
Well, there you go, yeah, Bill. There's your opportunity right there. Tell people how they can get a hold of you to help with
this.
All you
have to do is look at our website, and which is National Dirt Late Model. That's National Dirt Late Model, all written out, HOF.com. And you can see how to contribute and get pictures of everybody that's ever been inducted. And, sometimes we are open over all of the races down there at Florence. When the track is open, we're open. And I think you'd be amazed what all we have. And we're going to, we have a chance of getting a big sponsor who I cannot name to you. But if so, we are going to have the Taj Mahal down there. And so we're pretty excited about that. And of course, there's everybody that gets nominated. There will be somebody that will come up and says, he cheats.
Well, yeah. You're not
everybody cheating. Everybody in the Hall of Fame is a cheater.
Yeah,
and,
if you're not cheating, you're not trying, Bill.
We get these calls like, well, I live down here in Kentucky, and this little boy, old Joe so-and-so, he drives at this little track. Now, he's a hell of a nice guy. He's never won a race. In fact, he's never finished. But he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. About once a week, I get a call like that. as there are. So this is national. In fact, it's international. We got some Canadian guys that are in. And so it's very difficult because there are so many deserving drivers, you know, and a lot of them sort of toil in obscurity, you know, at some small track, winning hundreds of races. And so it's very difficult. And on the boards, we get some real nasty stuff said about us, you know. And, of course, we say, well, why don't you come help us?
Well, Bill, I want to change directions on you a little bit. I just recently read an article you wrote for Stock Car Racing Magazine about an old turbo car sprint car that was built way back when.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it was a turbine car, and it was built back in the 60s by a guy out in California, and it was a very wild machine, and it ran in a couple races, you know, but of course, the powertrain and all that was entirely different, you know, than a standard open wheel car powertrain. And it's interesting. I'm very interested in the odd and peculiar different cars. For example, I don't know if you heard about this, but there's a chance there's going to be a half mile paved track built in this downtown Columbus. You guys heard about that?
Columbus, Indiana, or Columbus, Ohio?
Ohio. See, the Columbus. They had a minor league baseball team over there downtown, and they moved to build a new stadium outside. So there's a chance that this is going to be built, and maybe even a drag strip. It's sort of an area which could be developed, and there's been a lot of guys that have contributed to this. But one of the big things is downtown is noise, and so USAC and Ohio State, some research have been developing an electric-powered midget.
Oh, I read about this.
But they have it powered. It's a company that works on electric power. And so they took a USAC midget over there and said, build an electric power plant within the constraints of the tail, you know, the tail tank and everything, and see what you get. Well, they use three big batteries, and they've got the engine up front, and it's really cool. I had my doubts. And just think of this now, downtown, no noise, no pollution. It sounds like a very quiet Indy car, if you can imagine that, sort of a little small screen. You don't need a push truck because you turn it on, you got max power right then.
I don't want a quiet Indy car, Bill. I want a roaring Indy car.
You're on the track, it'll start right back up and go. And don't need fuel tanks. No danger of an alcohol fire. And for this kind of an application downtown where everybody bitches about the noise and the exhaust, I think it has real promise. And anything that's good for racing, I figure there's enough people saying bad things about it. I always say nothing but good things.
Well, I'll tell you what they need to do. Instead of worrying about putting it downtown, they need to put it in the Horseshoe of Ohio State and run it around there.
There you go.
Well, you know, that's interesting you should say that, but are you aware that they used to have races in the Soldier's Field up in Chicago?
I had heard that before, yes.
Yeah, they used to have, well, they had it, you know, it's around a football field, so it's probably a quarter, and they had a paved track all around it. Of course, since then, the bleachers have been put down, but they ran a number of NASCAR, which at the time was Grand National races up there, on that track. So there's all kinds of interesting little tidbits that are around, you know, and outside of Newcastle, Indiana, they got a track, Mount Lawn, runs around a baseball field.
Well, I'll tell you what I really want to talk about, Bill, is talk a little bit about your 100 years of speed at the Winchester Speedway. I mean, that's just an awesome track altogether. A lot of history there.
Well,
I don't know
if you were aware of this. I just finished a book called The 100 Years of Winchester Speedway. And it's $20, and it's all donated to the Injured Drivers Fund.
I'm sorry.
And if anybody be interested in buying that, just go to tachometerpress.com, and you can order tachometer.com. But I love Winchester Speedway, and it's been there since 1914. So next year will be the 100th year. And it's been a premier track for many years, and during the early years, it was a motorcycle track.
Really?
And both the Harley, both the Harley-Davidson and Indian factory teams ran there. And they set many world records there. And during the 20s, there were no bank tracks, and so a lot of Indy cars came over and practiced there. Well, now it started out as dirt, but it got harder and harder, and then they put some black tar on. So by the late 20s or 30s, it was like a paved track. But it didn't actually get physically paved, you know, a thick asphalt until 1961. But some of the interesting things that happened in 1929, Henry Ford said he wanted to run his Model A's down there, see how they ran. So they had a Model A, a 29 Model A's came down and ran there. And then in 1950, some guy named Bill France Sr., new NASCAR, 1950, who formed NASCAR, he was 2 years old, called Frank Funk, the guy that had built the track, and said, I'd like to run my cars over to your place, see how they handle up on the high banks. And it was an unofficial race, and Lee Petty was there, Richard's dad, and he says, I'm thinking about building some high bank paved tracks. I just want to see how my cars would handle. At the time, the Winchester was about 30 degrees. What are the banking at Daytona? Would you believe 30 degrees?
Wow.
So it's been all kinds of interesting things happen there, you know. And of course, there's been 35 people killed there, too, because running those high banks with no overhead protection was not a good thing. And, so at one time in 1951, at a AAA race there, during qualifications, two guys, one right after the other, went over the turn two wall and were killed. One right after the other.
All right, Bill, we only got a couple minutes here. We got a couple minutes here. Go ahead and tell them again about how to get your book and also about the Dirt Late Model Museum.
Okay,
down
once
there.
Again, the website is on the Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame, and we have a virtual tour in there. You can see that is National Dirt Late Model, National Dirt Late Model, HOF for Hall of Fame, .com. And if you're interested in the book on the Winchester Speedway, 100 Years of Thrills, it's email, put it on your computer, tachometer, tachometer.com. It's $20, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Hundreds and hundreds of pictures.
It's an awesome book. We appreciate you spending some time with us, Bill. I apologize we don't have more time. We'll have to get you on when we got more time and talk a lot of history, because I know you've been around for a long time, but thanks for joining.
Well, I love the history stuff, so anytime, guys. Nice to talk to you.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, again, Bill Holder, man. Wow. You know, I always like it when you can talk to a guy, especially knows a lot about history. You ask him one question, and he talks for 20 minutes.
Yeah, lob a softball, and bang, he smacks her out of the park, doesn't he?
There was so much I wanted to ask him, but when you're cut down to just a few minutes, and, you know, unfortunately, but we'll have to get him back on in this winter time and talk to him a lot.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Well, you hesitated on me there.
Well,
but again, man, I'm telling you, I'm sitting here looking at this 100 years of speed, centennial history of Winchester Speedway, and it's got some cool pictures in it. He wasn't kidding. And it's got a place for autographs, and if you've never been down there, you got to check it out, because it is an awesome track. And I fell in love with it, because, hell, I got to see a mini Talladega happen down there.
You sure did. They tore them up good.
All right, folks, we need to go ahead and take a break. Big Kenny Barr, or Kenny Vanilla Barr.
That's Vanilla.
Yeah, that's right. I can't think of it.
Candy Barr, Munchie Barr, Crowbar. I've been lots of bars, but Vanilla Barr?
The Vanilla Barr, do you know, coming up next.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to Speed Talk with Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you, Tiny and Tom sticking around helping us out. We're joined by a gentleman that, man, I swear to God, I think he's motor sports genius, the king.
Well, I'm hoping so.
We're going to get him to here. We'll see what he says. He may tell us we're full of crap before it's all over with. We got Bill Holder with us. He's a man. He writes for several magazines, written some books, and he's president of what Hall of Fame, Bill? Welcome.
The National Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame at Florence Speedway, Kentucky.
Let's talk about that, man. You say
a
lot of people don't know.
It's very similar to the Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Kenny Barr, Cliff Tanner coming at you. Tiny behind the boards and his assistant. And Tommy's over here. We got all kinds of people showing up here in the studios looking to have some fun. Hey, don't forget our new contest.
That's right. Don't forget it, Cliff.
That's right. I haven't forgotten. It's got it written down here. November 20th. Pick a driver. You can enter multiple times. We don't care. Just pick a driver. Pick the song that best suits them. We did that a couple years ago, and it was amazing, some of the stuff that we got.
It was hilarious. There's some creative people out there.
And I'll tell you what, if it's a really good one, you might even get on the air with us. You just never know.
Possible.
Two winners, $50 worth of gas. Hopefully, well, never mind. It's Obama, so we know it's going to be around $4 a gallon. So,
well, let's see.
With that being said,
it's down to 320 around. It's 327 on the way over tonight. It'll be down to $2.99 on election day, and then $4.99 about 3 days afterwards.
It'll be the next morning, I can promise. Well, that depends if we got to get lawyers. Why do we do it? No political. We're done. Anyway, want to, again, welcome the Armed Forces Radio Network. And joining us, go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check everything out there. And on the contest, you need to go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Go into the comment section. Put down who you think, what you think. Go to Facebook and do it there, whatever you want to do. Again, November 20th, your song, your driver. See who comes up with the best. We'll pick them. We got a studio, or a not a studio. What's the word I'm looking for? We got a lot of people that will help us. A committee. Thank you. With that.
He had me stumped. I don't know.
I apologize, folks. I'm kind of like flying high here.
That's okay.
Kenny Barr, let's just give me a break. Do you know, man? Let's go.
You got a cough drop I can borrow? Cliff's a smidgen under the weather, and he swallowed a cough drop at the break, and it was really kind of fun to watch him do it. Do you know? Brought to you by one of our favorite organizations in the whole wide world. It's wishforourheroes.org. Wish for Our Heroes grants wishes to active military men and women all over the United States and in four countries. And all they want is your belief. They don't want your money. They want your belief. And go check them out. Wishforourheroes.org. This week's Do You Know ties in with a little bit of what we talked about with Bill Holder. Turbo cars and turbo race cars. Did you know, Cliff, and feel free if you can catch your breath and all that stuff over there, that there were more than one turbo car that ever entered Indianapolis?
No kidding.
Yep, way back in the 50s, they had one that the guy put 175 horsepower turbine in an old Curtis chassis, wouldn't go anywhere. Then there was a guy named John Zink that in 1962 had a turbo car, put Dan Gurney in the thing, and it was just a squirrel. It wouldn't go anywhere. And then a guy named Jack Adams had one in 1966 that was amazingly powerful, left these great big monster black marks down the straightaway, couldn't turn left. So Andy Granatelli had been watching this thing, and he decided that he's going to put together a not-so-powerful engined turbo car, and it had a four-wheel drive system on it. And theoretically, the car would run all day at the same speed and find its, quote, own groove on the racetrack, four-wheel drive. And this four-wheel drive had been proven in a couple other cars before. It really didn't – well, the turbo runs really smooth, but it's got about 80% fewer parts than a piston engine, so you got less chance of things breaking down on you. It will run on a higher heat value fuel than alcohol, which will give you better fuel economy. Better gas mileage, and then it would actually prove faster acceleration off the turns. There were some drawbacks to it, which is why it had to find the right driver. There was about a 2-second hesitation after you hit the throttle before everything responded. But things of that nature could be taken care of by a driver who had the finesse and the talent to do it. Nobody knows this. A.J. Foyt was asked to drive it. Mario Andretti was asked to drive it. They both turned it down because they didn't like the new technology. So Pardinale Jones says, hey, I'll give it a whirl. And he went out, I think, to Phoenix and tested it and absolutely fell in love with the thing. It was so smooth and so quiet he could actually hear the brake calipers engaging.
Wow.
As he's going into the corners and stuff. Now, it wasn't as fast as the other cars, but it was amazingly consistent. I think it qualified sixth in the Indy 500 that year. At 166 mile an hour, and I think the pole speed was 168 and change. But the thing that scared everybody is he was in race trim full of fuel. Everybody else was in qualifying trim, not full of fuel. So they're all going, oh, because he could run 166 all day long, and that's exactly what he did. Went out there and just clicked them off. I mean, he was in the lead, I think, in the second turn. He stuck that all-wheel drive out on the outside and went right around everybody who had already dove into the
the single file thing and disappeared. Feel free to grab that mic. This is not a one-man show here. Yeah. Yeah, Parnelli Jones was driving it. Yeah, absolutely. And it would have ran away with the race, but it wasn't for a $6 bearing that died on lap 197 and put the car into neutral.
Well, it's hard to go somewhere at that point.
Yep, you just kind of roll off to the side. And then A.J. Foyt actually had to avoid a gargantuan crash in 3 and 4 and almost come to a crawl to weave through that mess to end up winning his, I think it was his third at the time. But turbo cars were nothing unusual. I find it interesting that somebody built a sprint turbo car that Bill was talking about. I tried to find a little more of the history of it and only raced two or three different times, and they had enough mechanical problems with it where it really didn't go as well as they thought. And now we hear about these electric midgets. Oh, my gosh. But
well, that's just not right.
No, it's not.
It's not right. You cannot go to a racetrack with the smell of fumes. And the, I mean, you just can't do it.
That's part of the whole ambiance of racing. The noise, the smell, the whole overkill in the senses, like going into a casino, you know. Sensory overload is the phrase I'm looking for, you know. You got to have that.
I guess Lance Armstrong needs to race somewhere now. So.
Well, yeah.
Why not electric cars? It's kind of hard to dope for that.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, I don't know. They'll probably find some sort of new electricity. They'll power it by a nuke, and it'll never die.
Turbos, think it'll ever go fruition?
Turbine cars,
for
nah.
Everybody?
No, not really. They're awfully, awfully expensive. Way back then, it was $100,000 for just the motor itself and stuff. But the concept is really, really neat. You got to give Granatelli credit for coming up with that. I read his book, They Call Me Mr. 500, about, oh, I don't know, 10 times when I was a kid. And they outlawed them, and the only real reason that they could come up with is because the car went whoosh instead of roar going down the straightaway, and the fans really didn't like whoosh. So I'm sure they're not going to like an electric midget car.
And everybody could see what you just did on the radio.
That's right. Silence.
You talk about Indianapolis 500, not to change the subject, but we got to.
That's okay. Yeah, we got 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go.
Billy Boat. Remember that name?
Yeah.
He actually has a racing team. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
In the ARCA series.
Yes.
His son drives it.
Mm-hmm. Chad
and
Boat.
And he took a heck of a ride on Friday night.
Did he?
Oh, my goodness. Lap two, coming around. And, you know, nobody knew. He got hit in the side. He actually rolled over side to side through the air, came down and rolled a few more times, got up and walked away from the race. It ended up being a heck of a race. The whole thing did.
But it's all yours. I didn't see a bit of it.
Well, you know, I was kind of surprised. I didn't know Billy Boat had owned a race team. And I figured if he did, he'd stay in the IndyCar series.
He was dabbling with promoting down at Terre Haute a little bit,
I think.
Yeah, for a year or two when we were down there visiting Steph and Chris when they were living down there. And I know he wanted to get it back in an IndyCar. I don't think that ever came to fruition.
Yeah, he tried a couple of Indy 500s over the years, but he just wasn't able to make it.
I think he drove for Foyt 1 year.
Right.
You know, and if AJ thinks you're a good enough driver, then you're probably pretty good at whatever you're doing.
But then again, AJ can't build a race car.
Never has.
I'm just kidding.
Because everybody else will build them for him.
True. Very true. Anyway, ended up being Chris Buescher, the second youngest ever champion in ARCA. He was 110 points ahead of Kimmel going into it. Kimmel was trying to win his 10th. But I tell you what, man, a lot of young drivers this year. You had Chris Buescher, Brendan Poole, Alex Bowman. Those guys were going. Matt Lofton, another good guy. Those guys were battling out.
Yeah, Frank Kimmel just could not keep Chris Buescher away because Buescher did end up finishing eighth.
Kimmel was sixth. But the guy that stole the show was Alex Bowman. He wins Rookie of the Year, and he's the only guy to ever lead 500 laps in a year in that series. That's amazing.
Yeah, I watched him race a couple, three times. Kid's smooth. Kid seems to be smart. Seen tear up a couple cars, but that happens when you're young. And, he's another one of those names that we need to put on the find the publicist list and see if we can't talk to him because I think he's another one of those up-and-comers.
I was already working on that the last ARCA race we were at. Brendan Poole's another guy, and Bowman did beat Poole by 4 points for the Rookie of the Year. And here's another amazing fact. Chris Buescher actually completed every lap of every ARCA race this year. Now, that's amazing because you're talking about dirt, you're talking about road course, and you're talking about concrete tracks.
That is amazing. Now I want to go back and look, see how many races they had. Not see, now you got my interest peaked, just like we're supposed to be doing anyway. I wonder how many laps he had to make and who his crew chief is and those kind of things, because that's a lot of that's prep work, you know, and keeping your nose clean and being a smart racer.
And you know who the Rulo brothers are, right? The guys that own the team. They've been in ARCA for a gazillion years.
I've heard the name.
That is who owns the car. It is actually, in all the years they've been in it, and it was amazing to watch in Victory Circle how he just didn't seem that excited. It was like, yeah, thanks a lot, you know. First time ever they've won a championship in the ARCA series.
That probably hit them later that night. We finally did it after all this. I hope they don't give up now that they've hit the pinnacle of their particular series.
Well, I'll tell you what, Venturini, you know, racing, they had five cars in ARCA all year long. We've seen some good guys coming through there. Again, Brendan Poole, you know, Buescher. You also had Eric Jones. That's a kid I think is going to be up and coming big time.
Yeah, all of what, 16 years old? It seems like you're talking to, my gosh, my youngest is 21. I don't know, you're talking to your grandkids almost anymore when you start talking to these kids. And they're fairly media savvy. I mean, they can talk to you intelligently. It's not like, Dad said to go drive the car, go to the end of the road, turn left. You know, I mean, they really can give you a nice 2-3-4 minute interview, understands a little bit about the car, understands a little bit about sponsorship, and it's kind of refreshing.
Well, I will tell you this much. For those people that don't know, Chris Buescher is not the brother of James.
Didn't he? Any related
cousins.
At all? The cousins, okay. Yes.
Because
I asked that question last week, and we didn't know for sure. So they're cousins.
Yeah, I've heard from media people even that tell me they were brothers, and I'm like, they just, I don't know. So I double check before I even say. So.
You can't trust those media gurus.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You know, ARCA always puts out some good races. They're a great series, the one we're going to be getting behind with Indy Lights and all that as the years progress and as time progresses. But I've got to tell you, man, 60th year anniversary. You know, Tom, everybody knows, they just put on a heck of a show this year. I mean, because it was very competitive almost all the way around.
Yeah, my dad was a member of ARCA way back when. Somewhere in his vast piles of paperwork, I think there's an ARCA membership card somewhere. I'll see if I can't dig that out and show you. And we had some guys from Fort Wayne here race ARCA. Moose won it. Connor Moose Myers won the ARCA championship. Scotty Stovall won it. A guy named Chuck Weick used to drive a Ford Thunderbird with a ton of port heads and a big 427 motor. Bill Winsman, who still comes into the shop, was his chassis guy and stuff. So, yeah, there's some local ties to ARCA, and it's because it's sort of kind of affordable, and it's in this area, and it's one of the steps up the chain of command to get to the Cup show.
All right, folks, want to appreciate you coming aboard with us here. Again, go to radiospeedtalk.com. You can go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. You can go to Twitter, and Kenny will be at
KennyBar52.
I'm at Radio Speed Talk 2. We'll see you next week.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.